You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Ben. As October, a typically cursed month for the markets, draws to a close, in the US, the S&P and Dow continue their bull run, fed by what people are calling the largest QE program to date. So do you think the sentiment will carry on to the end of the year? And besides the QE high, what do you think will drive it?
Good morning, Nadia and David and BFM listeners, and happy Halloween, I should mention as well. The surest way of predicting equity markets direction is by looking at earnings. So we're hoping that earnings translations are positive in the US, and at least when we go into the next quarterly earnings numbers, we don't hose down all these estimates once again, which seems to be a trend that has been pretty constant in the US market for quite some time. So that's the surest predictor of a share market, as I said. But what the markets have been rallying on, and of course in a global context, is this quantitative easing program. Now, last night, of course, they kept it in place. There was a Fed whisperer, the so-called Fed whisperer was on the wires last night talking about potentially the Federal Reserve could start to taper as soon as December. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Obviously, given the government debt ceiling concerns that we need to go down again in early 2014. So, to my mind, the first quarter of 2014, maybe even April, and we might even be able to start to christen that as being taperal, like they were calling it September. Those 2 months early in 2014 make a lot more sense to me. But still, the path of least resistance for equity markets still appears to be to the upside, and that is due to all that liquidity just flushing around within global markets at the moment. So just naturally a lot of it's going to find its way to the equity markets. We would love to see some consistent upgrades to earnings estimates in the US, and I think that when we see that, there'll be nothing more certain than stronger equity markets on the back of those companies upgrading their earnings estimates.
Well, that be it as it may, the phrase that's being bandied about is bubble-like markets. Yet this doesn't seem to scare the Fed. Is the eventual end result as bad as the naysayers are predicting?
It could be. I mean, we saw in the lead up to September when we're all expecting that FOMC meeting that they were going to sort of maybe wipe $10 to $15 billion off the $85 billion a month asset purchase program. We saw how that played out in emerging markets. We saw how it played out in equity markets. But really, the only way to stimulate the broader economy in the US is by these asset purchases. Now, of course, they want to get unemployment down. They want to get the economy standing on its own two feet. But the flow-on effect of that, of course, is that we're going to see artificially inflated asset prices. And again, that's just a symptom with so much liquidity just flushing throughout the market, that it's naturally going to find itself into risk assets, into the equity market. Anything that offers a rate of return is naturally going to be inflated by these procedures from the Federal Reserve. Bubble-like markets, well, I guess history will be the great judge of that. I suspect we are going to see volatility, that's for sure, in the build-up to into the tapering, and certainly that'll be a story of 2014. Whether it's a bubble market, a market that's in a bubble, I don't know. I probably think not, because once the US economy is back and trading blows on its own two feet, that can only be a good thing for equity markets, I think.
Well, the ratings agencies are making headlines again. Moody's Investor Services discussing stripping New Zealand of its sole remaining top credit rating amid concerns about its current account deficit exposing its vulnerability to external jolts. So does this mean that the Kiwis are in trouble?
No, not really. I've stopped listening to ratings agencies, really. I mean, these are the same ratings agencies that were rating mortgage-backed securities AAA rated just before the GFC, and that was the whole reason we got into the GFC. So I take it with an absolute pinch of salt. And if anything, the New Zealand economy is doing really, really well, because they are expecting some interest rate rises as early as early 2014. So that obviously means that their economy is in great shape. That they need to raise rates to obviously curb some of that demand coming out of their economy. So I think you know, the account deficits are a problem, certainly in emerging markets. We saw that play out. And the external shock factor, sure, you know, but I mean, how can we judge that? The external shocks are always come out of left field, and we can never, ever predict where they're going to come from. So, you know, there will most likely be something come out of in the external shock, but, you know, how can you predict it, and how can you confidently say that it is going to happen? And as I said, you know, just getting back to the point I made at the top, the ratings agencies, I take them with an absolute grain of salt these days.
Well, they didn't actually have the best track record before, admittedly. Well, structural concerns continue to dog the China economy. Every move that happens is being watched. So what are the key issues you think to keep on radar for China?
Oh, just how they transition that economy from an export-driven to a domestic consumption-focused market. So obviously, you know, things like industrial production numbers maybe going into the future aren't as important as, say, a retail sales print. So obviously, you know, they're having teething problems with the transition. They've still got the shadow banking system there. They've got loans going sour of everyone trying to get involved in this property. We talk about bubbles. There's a property bubble. That's one bubble we can, I think, accurately forecast ahead of time, and that's that China property bubble. So, you know, loans going sour over there is another issue. And I think overall we're just going to have to expect lower growth rates in line with what the PBOC has said in recent times. I think we're seeing the high water mark for quite a few years with the latest growth print from memory 7.8%. You know, that's going to trend lower to 7.5%, possibly down towards 7%, I'd say, in 2014 and 15.
Well, emerging market currencies are going through a spate of weakening, but what will this mean for the Aussie dollar, you think?
Long term, I still quite bearish on the Aussie dollar, but obviously, you know, it takes two to tango. So not only do we need to look at the Aussie dollar prospects, we need to look at, say, the US dollar, if that's what we're comparing it against. And we're still looking at that Fed tapering story and how that's going to play out. Now, this time last week, everyone was starting to talk about the Aussie dollar hitting parity against the US dollar. Well, as the story goes, it's dropped beneath 95 US cents. It's around 94.5 US cents at the moment. So, you know, we need to have a look at the interest rate calendar and the expectations. We're expecting maybe rate rises or the cycle to start moving to rate rises sort of by early 2015. But by that stage, we should have seen the quantitative easing program completely tapered off in the US or very close to having been withdrawn. So that should be net-net be a US dollar positive, therefore a negative for the Aussie dollar. So I do see an Aussie dollar below 90 US cents sort of by the middle of next year.
Well, that was Ben LeBrun, market analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
BFM 89.9, the business station.